It's February 26th, and this is Rabbi Manning Shiur.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yes.
Can you hear me okay? I need to stand up to speak, and the mic is not going to get close enough to me to really pick it up, but I don't think we need much more than this, right? You can hear me okay at the back? Excellent. Okay, good morning. First of all, Chodesh Tov. I hope everybody is having a good Adar so far, since it only started last night, but so far so good. I just came from speaking downstairs in the Rosh Chodesh program, so I'm already kind of one shear in and out, etc. I would just mention that Mishenichnas Adar Marbin Besimcha, Rashi says, what is the Simcha of Adar? It's that Pesach's coming. And if that doesn't give you Simcha, then you have to think about that a little bit. So what you can do differently this year to make Pesach a different kind of experience. Rav Benji Levine, one of my neighbors from Harnov, he said his father would always say, on Pesach, he would always say to people, a freilich on Pesach. Because people need the freilich on Pesach, perhaps more. And on Purim, he would always say to people, chag kosher v'sameach. Because on Purim, they needed a little bit more focus on the kashrus. So I think but I'm focusing on the freilich on Pesach. So if I could remind you, please, to turn off your phones. Because we're higher up now, we're closer to the satellites, so maybe we'll get more calls. But last week, we talked about space. I want to come right down to Earth, okay? And talk about something much, much more relevant, much more everyday. It's going to be quite legal, so if there are lawyers here, then either you'll enjoy it or not, as the case may be. But it's going to be a little bit more law-oriented. And I want to give a series of two or three dealing with internet halacha, ethical issues and how we relate to the classic halachic parameters of theft, a copyright, if that is a halachic parameter, in the modern day world where you're interconnected in multiple different places. You access from your computer, you access the internet in Jerusalem, and your server is in Canada, which bounces off a satellite over, you know, Mexico to access a website in Japan. Everything is incredibly connected. How is the halacha going to deal with this? Today, I really want to talk about theft and how theft relates to virtual things. Because if you're stealing, if you're downloading music, what are you stealing? We'll see, there are definitely problems, but what is it? What is it that you're actually getting your hands on? It's just electrical impulses out there in the cloud that when you bring them down to your computer, turn into a song or into a video or whatever it is. So how are we in halacha going to deal with that? So you know the internet. All of us in this room were, remember, pre-internet days. It's a different world. From the 1990s, really, the internet took over as being a revolutionizing impact on human beings. And I just brought you this little diagram at the top, which I thought was very appropriate. Back in the day when we started with this, we were talking in kilobytes, okay? Then megabytes, and now gigabytes, terabytes, petabytes, exabytes. And, you know, you're going forever. I never even heard of a geobyte, but the amount with 5G broadband, very soon, every single thing in the house will be talking to everything else and listening to you or talking to you. The fridge will be talking to the air conditioning, which will be talking to the stereo, which will be talking... You know, the fact that I call it stereo is already, you know... you know, the wireless. They're all going to be connected in some way, and therefore the impact... people already have Alexa listening out. I heard an interesting statistic. So Amazon said that the only listen, or was it Google, I can't remember, they only listen to 1% of the conversations that happen that are overheard by technology. They only listen to 1%. How many conversations are there? 100 million daily. So don't worry, they're only listening to 1 million conversations. So that's good. But a lot of things are clearly changing. Halakhic issues, I brought you 7 or 8. We're only going to talk about 3 or 4 today. First of all, there's a whole question of filters. I'm not getting into that now. It's very interesting. Is one obligated to have a filter with children, without children, etc.? Under what circumstances can we download music, videos? That we will start to talk about today, against the wishes of those who put them up. Internet confidentiality, accessing other people's data, hacking, etc. The use of VPNs, which is one of the ways that we got into this whole debate. We'll talk a little bit more about that at the end of the shiur, and next week we're going to really deal with that issue. The use of cameras through the internet to fulfill halakhic requirements. Can you avoid yichud if there's a camera in the room and you're on your own just with you and a girl or a boy, as the case may be? Is that good enough if there's a camera there? Does it matter if someone's watching? They could be watching. What about supervising kashrus? You know, you want Chalav Yisrael. So there's some non-Jewish person milking a cow in Chveis, Thailand, but it's okay because I'm watching on my computer in Yerushalayim and I can see the video of the guy milking the cow, so that's Chalav Yisrael. Does that work or does that not work? Giving edus, giving testimony, answering brochas. Someone makes a brocha on, you know, the video, on the internet, whatever, can I answer? Appointing agents, etc. Then there's the halakhic status of acquiring ownership through the internet. If I buy stuff on the internet, do I own it? If I buy chometz, or if I have shares in different things with chometz, is that relevant on Pesach? How do I make a kinyan on the internet? I lift up my computer, put it down again. No, that's not how you do it. Transferring computer viruses, intentionally or accidentally. Normally it's accidentally, but are you liable? Are you liable for the damage that occurs when you accidentally forward an email to somebody and it has a virus and it eats away at their data and costs them a lot of money? Is that your responsibility? Using other people's Wi-Fi networks without permission. Now, that used to be a much bigger question because now everybody has a password protection on their Wi-Fi. It used to be 6 or 7 years ago, you walked around. I once walked around Meir Sha'arim and I turned on my phone and there were lots of Wi-Fi networks around. Okay, so maybe people didn't realize. Now they're all protected, but if they're not, can you hack onto people's Wi-Fi and use it? Performing internet transactions in one's name on Shabbat. If I have an internet sales company and I have a website and it's doing lots of business on Shabbos, is that my problem? Benefiting from software updates on Shabbos, all sorts of things that we're going to talk about a little bit today and next week. Now, let's get back to basics. When do we ever actually talk about what is theft? Let's analyze that just for a second. Basic parameters. What does it mean to steal something? So we're going to spend just 5-10 minutes looking at the basic halakhas. Forgive me if this is very foundational, but I think until we do this, you can't then ask the question, so what's happening when I download a piece of music? So here are the basic makorot. Number one. A lot of people don't realize, say Chazal, that they're thieves. They don't realize. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav. Roiv begezel. Most people are stealing. Even back then, before the internet. Miut ba'arayas. There's a minority that are behaving sexually inappropriately. The hakol b'lashon hara. And everybody's speaking lashon hara. Says the Gemara, really? B'lashon hara? Kol b'lashon hara? Really? Everybody's speaking lashon hara? No, elav avak lashon hara. It may not be full-blown Lashon Hara, but it's things that lead to Lashon Hara. I'm not getting the dust of Lashon Hara. I'm not getting into what that means exactly. But Roiv Begezel. Most people somehow have got their hands dirty a little bit with Gezel. Look at the Mishnah Berurah number 2. Very interesting Mishnah Berurah. It's talking about Yom Kippur. Aval, the Erev Yom Kippurim. Mechayev letaken hakol kidei sheyitaba b'chol avonosav. You have to sort out your life on Erev Yom Kippur. What if you have something in your possession which is stolen? Or something which you overcharged for? Anything monetary. You've got to sort that out, says the Mishnah Berurah. This is the most severe prosecutor, if you like, in terms of averas, ala adam, kamosha amru chazal, seyam alei avoinas mi makatrik. If you have a bag full of averas that you did during the year, which is the one that jumps out first to accuse? Gezel makatrik barosh. Gezel is the one. Im yesh lechaveru biyad mamon. If let's say you have someone else's money in your possession, she yesh lo tfi aleihem, and that person could claim it. Yodienu, you have to tell them. Afal pi shechaveru lo yada mizaklal. Even though he may not even realize he could claim it, it's your job to sort that out. Val kolpanim yisade lifnei harav. You have to go to a rav, morid tzedek. Ha'inyan, you have to talk it through. B'shleimus or be'emes. B'loy sheker, don't lie to the rabbi. Meaning, you can get the psaki you want if you just lie to the rabbi. It says, that's not what you should do. V'lish'ol heichlit naik, a check with the rav how to deal with it. And he says at the end, klalo shel davar, above all, kol davar sheba mamon lo yismuch al harato. You can't rely on your own psak for yourself when it comes to money. Because the Yetzahara has a lot of heterim when it comes to money. People who are very careful in other areas of their life, all of a sudden, you know, there are, you know, shpilerai that can be done in different directions. So that's what the Mishnah Berurah says. So, for starters, Gezel is obviously serious. Where does it say in the Torah you can't steal? Well, number three, Lois Signoiv, Ten Commandments, that's actually not the right one because that is talking about kidnapping. I think we know. And I assume nobody here is dealing with that, but you never know, I suppose, but I doubt it. Number four, there is a possibility, Lois Signoivu, do not steal. That's dealing with money. But not just Lois Signoivu, there are other psukim. Number five, Lois Sa Shokit Reecha, don't do Oshek. What's Oshek? Oshek. It's a mitzvah. What's Oshek? Oshek is withholding money that you are due to pay other people. Like wages or a loan or something. Loi sigzoil. Don't do gezela. Loi salim pula sachi itchad bochit. Don't hold back payment to workers until the next day. Says the Sefer HaChinuch, why are there so many mitzvahs? Gezel, geneva, Oshek, loi salim. Why so many mitzvahs? Says the Chinuch. Va'afel pisha oishik v'hagezela v'hakeneva inyan echad hu. Number six. Even though they're all really the same thing. Why are there three different mitzvahs? All three of them mean that you shouldn't be holding on to other people's money. The psukim give them specifically differently. Kulam, he's here b'chol echad b'fnei hatzmon. Everyone has its own place. Why? Shekol sheratza ha'el baruch hu laharchik mimenu letavoseinu. Whenever HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to help us to distance from something which is a real problem, richu gadol hir belanu boy as haras rabbis. Yeah, it only says once or twice, don't eat pigs. But it says many, 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 many times, be careful with money, because maybe there's Oishik, maybe there's Geneva, maybe there's Gezela, maybe there's Baltolin, etc., because these are areas which are prevalent in our lives. Now, how much do you have to steal to be a thief? What is the minimal amount? Number seven, the Rambam. Kol ha'goynev mamon. Mishave pruta v'mala. If you steal money worth a shave pruta, now what's that worth in today's world? A few cents, 5 cents, 6 cents, something like that. Either aloi sase, you are doing the avera loy signoivu, and you'll get malchus for that. Okay. However, don't think that you can steal less than that. Says the Rambam, asur lignov kol shehu din Torah. But the Torah prohibits even the tiniest theft. Even the tiniest theft of a fraction of a fraction of a fraction of a cent is still Geneva. It's just you won't get Malchus for that. You know, perhaps one of the worst things you can do is take the towels from the hotel. I don't know if people still do this, but they used to talk about this, right? You know, they have signs in the hotel, if you like our towels, you can buy them in the lobby kind of thing. Because if you steal the towels from the hotel, you're stealing a tiny, tiny amount of money from millions and millions of shareholders, potentially. So that could be many hundreds of thousands of genevas all in one towel. Because even the tiniest amount is geneva. Says the Rambam number Gimel in number seven, Ezehu Ganaf, who is a Ganaf? Jezolekech Maman Adam Beseta, someone who steals slyly, privately. Veina Balim Yoidim, and the owners don't know. Bear all this in mind when we get to the incident. Aval im lakach begilui, if you took openly befarhesia publicly, bechoizek yad, with a sort of strong arm tactics, Ein ze Ganaf, that's not Geneva, Ella. Gezela, you're a gazla. So which is worse, Geneva or Gezela? Geneva is worse. How much does a ganav have to pay back if you catch him? Double. Kefel. If he denies it and he's found guilty, whereas a gazla doesn't pay kefel, he just pays back what he stole. Why is Geneva worse than Gezela? It's quite a famous drash. Because Geneva is like Gezela plus. If you steal, but you don't care who knows that you steal, So that's bad enough. But Geneva says the Gemara number 8, look at number 8, Shalu Talmideh v'es Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai, v'pnei ma hechmiru Torah b'ganav yotzei m'gazlan. Why is the Torah stricter on a ganav than a gazlan? Amalehem, he said to them, Zehish v'kavad eved l'kavad koinoi, v'zeh loish v'kavad eved l'kavad koinoi. One is more scared of Hashem than he is of other people. Sorry, one is more scared of people than Hashem. The gazlan doesn't care about anybody. He says, I don't care who knows, I don't care if God knows, I don't care if people knows, at least he's not a hypocrite. A ganav is not only stealing, but he's a hypocrite. He says, I don't want people to know that I steal. And he doesn't care what God knows, but people shouldn't know. And also they talk about geneva being adam la'atzmai as well. Gezela, you're just taking other people's money. Geneva, you're not only stealing money, but you're a sneak. You become yourself a devious person, which is a separate layer, maybe even worse, layer of aveira on top of that. So there's the ganav and there's the gazel. Go over the page, please, to page 3. Also, liknov afilu kol shehudin. Torah the Shulchan Aruch paskins that you're not allowed to take even the smallest amount. When can you? When is it okay? So this is interesting. Number 10. Also, likzol ala ashok afilu kol shehu. You're not allowed to steal. Ve'im hudava delay command the carpet bay. Again, remember these when we get to the internet. If it's something that nobody would ever be bothered about, shari, then that's okay. Kagoin. He gives an example. Litem me'achavilau me'agede lachzot bo shinav. There's a bundle of hay or whatever, and you take a little bit, a stalk of a tiny little bit of broken thing and get something out of your teeth. Does anybody care about that? Nobody cares about that. Well, you took a little splinter of wood from a broken down old fence to use as a toothpick. The avzeh also be Yerushalmi, says the Shulchan Aruch, even that the Yerushalmi says is wrong, midas chasidas. They ask an interesting question. Can you walk through the steps in a building in Har Nof to cut from one level to the next? You know, it's not your property. You go down the steps from. You can use the elevator, for sure not, because that costs them direct money. That's why many people, they put a block on the elevator, and I don't think the people who don't put a block say it's okay, it's just that they just didn't get around to it. But what about the steps? What's wrong with the steps? Is that the kind of thing that nobody would ever be bothered if you did? And the answer is, I used to live in Har Nof, a lot of people are bothered by that. Yeah. So you can't sit around and say, it's fine, nobody cares. If it's the kind of thing that nobody in the world would ever care about, then maybe. They ask you a question, can you charge your phone on somebody else's electricity? So, one second, that uses the most minute amount of electricity. It will probably cost someone a fraction of a fraction of a fraction of a cent, even if you left it plugged in all day. It's gornished, it's practically zero. So maybe you could say that, like, who would even care about that? It's probably more expensive not just to turn the light off and on every time you walk in the room. So maybe that's the modern day equivalent. I'm not a poseg, not saying, but maybe that's the modern day equivalent of this halacha. But one has to think carefully. And does it matter if you're Jewish or not Jewish? Not at all. Number 11. Kol ha'goynev afilu shavei pruta oiv alav. Even if you steal even a small amount, shavei pruta, you're doing the issa d'oraisa v'chayv l'shalem. Echad ha'goynev mammon Yisrael. Doesn't matter whether you're stealing money from a Jew. Or goynev mammon shel goyim. Doesn't matter whether you're stealing money from non-Jews, because the theft is a prohibition not just in the money, but in you as well. Echad ha'goynev migadol or mikotten. It doesn't matter whether you're stealing from children. Children have ownership in halacha. Children own things in halacha. They may not be able to be makne them to you. They may not be able to transfer them, but they own them. If you give a child something and say, this is your toy, it's not so straightforward that someone can take that toy away to discipline the child. Because the child owns the toy. Now, you might turn around and say, well, as a parent, I give all toys to my child, al-tanai, that if you don't behave properly, I'm going to take it back. We'll see if that does work. But I don't know whether as a parent you should sit down with your six-year-old and say, right, now that you're six, let's get some things clear about the halachas of this relationship. Any toy that I may give you between now and whenever is given strictly al-tanai. Maybe I should put a sign up in the house. All gifts given to children in this house are given strictly al-tanai, that if you don't behave nicely, you'll give them back. Maybe. Wouldn't do any harm. But the child does own things as well. Now, the last part of this is, what about borrowing things? Oh, I didn't take it. I just borrowed it. I'm giving it back. That's called shoyel shaloi midas. And that is prohibited. There's a Gemara in Bava Basra that talks about a father that sends his son to pick up some oil from the shop. And he gives him a coin, he gives him a glass jar, and he says, go get some oil. and the owner of the shop gives him the oil in the jar and the change, and the kid on the way home drops and loses everything. He drops the jar and smashes the jar and the oil spills and he loses the money. The Gemara says, who has to pay for that? So the Gemara says, at least according to the opinion we pass him, that the guy in the shop has to pay. I mean, the father, you could argue, he entrusted the kid with a glass jar. It's the father's fault. What did he think the kid's going to do? But the Gemara makes a whole Okimsa, a whole situation, then says, no, we're talking about a situation where the shopkeeper said to the kid, oh, kid, just give me your glass jar. I'm going to use this to use it in the shop for other people for 5 minutes. No one will mind. And he uses it for 5 minutes. And he gives it, fills it with oil and gives it to the kid and says, okay, go back to your parents now. And then the kid drops it. The guy in the shop is a ganav. He is a ganav. Why? Because he borrowed without permission and he used it for his own purpose. He gave it back. But it doesn't matter. The minute he took it, he's a shoyl shelo midas, and he's now responsible to get it back to the father. And if the kid drops it, it's his problem. If you look in here in number 13, Shulchan Aruch, afilu halokeach b'sheila. Even if you just borrow something, but they don't know about it, nikra gazlan. That is gezela as well. And the Ritva says, even though you don't do any damage, you borrow someone's mug in the kitchen. Okay, if it's family, I suppose all family, you know, they don't have their own mugs. So, I mean, maybe they do, it depends on the situation. But if you're in an office, and people, again, if it's the kind of thing that nobody in the world would ever care about, then, okay, maybe you can just borrow what you like. But people do care about these things, no? They care very much about these things. Don't use my milk. Well, milk is different because milk, you're actually using the milk. How do you get people to stop using the milk? So all the story is, please don't use my milk, it's private. They still use it. If you use this milk, you are a gazlan min haTorah. They still use it. Then you write, this milk is not Chalav Yisrael. No one's going to touch it. That's the way to do it. So, if you look in number 15, when can you borrow things? Says the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, the Alter Rebbe. Davar she'ein kol b'nei adam lahakpid alav, something that nobody cares about klal at all. Mipnei she'ein chashash hefsed, it's never going to get lost. Maybe a coat hanger. Yeah, you go to someone's house, you're a guest. Ooh, am I allowed to hang my coat on their coat hanger? I don't know, should I ask them? No, I don't think so. What, who cares about a wire coat hanger? Really? I don't think. For kilkul klal, they don't care about it getting broken. But tashmir, ze'einu nechshel shoyel shelo midas. That's okay, that's not borrowing without permission. Aval davar she'mitzas b'nei adam hakpidim alav. If there are some people who are bothered by it, mitnei chashash kilkul, they don't want it to get broken. Afal pisha ruva main makpidim. Even though most people don't care, mitnei chashash rachok, because it's not likely to get broken. Ein holchim b'zeh acharov. We don't follow the majority. Loimer and say, we don't say min astam lo yakpid, he's probably okay. No, we don't say that. Vafilu imbori loy shalo yikalkal. Even if you're completely sure that you won't ruin it, klal at all, asur, you're not allowed to borrow it, kibal ha-chefetz choshed al-kopanim shemikah, because they're bothered by it. So the halachas are really very strict. There are exceptions. We assume in halacha that people want their own their property to be used for mitzvahs, and therefore, let's say there's a siddur, you could use the siddur to daven shacharis, because we can assume that the person would want their siddur to be used for a mitzvah, unless, of course, you know that they wouldn't, in which case you can't. Yeah? So all of those things. All of that is by way of background in terms of the laws of theft, which I think will be a very good foundation to us to build on. Now, let's get to the internet. Why is it not just theft? You know, they upload something, they're bothered, they don't want other people to use it, they invested money in making it or whatever, they sell it, and you download it without permission. Or let's take the VPN situation. What is a VPN? We talked about it briefly, a virtual private network. Meaning you can reroute, next week we'll talk a bit more about this, you can reroute your internet access through an invisible, if you like, server that the people who are the content provider thinks that you're actually in America, but you're really is sitting in Israel. So is there a problem with that? Meaning Netflix, sign people up in the US for US Netflix access. And you're in Israel and you have a US Netflix account. And you say, but like, you know, I want to access it from Israel. And Netflix say, no, you can't. If you want Netflix in Israel, you have to pay for Israel Netflix. That's how it works. And you say, well, I don't agree with that. I'm just going to reroute my internet through America. Now Netflix thinks I'm in America. And that's good enough. Is that okay? Is that not okay? We will talk about that in some detail as to how that works. Why is it just not theft? You know, theft, you're stealing from people. The answer is not so posh. Have a look in 16 and 17, and herein lies the real problem that we have to deal with. 16, says the Rambam, Hagoinei Brishus Habalim, let's say someone breaks into someone's house, and they steal inside the house. They say, ooh, that's nice, I'm going to take that. A burglar. Hoyel v'hagneva adayin hi b'rishusan sin, and then the police run in and they catch the guy and they say, did you steal anything? He goes, no, not me, sir, I was just checking the meter, or something like that. Potam in a kefel, he didn't do anything, it's still in the guy's house, you didn't do a kinyan on the item. The im higbia hagneva, but if the burglar already picked it up, they picked it up and says, I'll have this, nitchai misham ganev, now you're a ganev. Even if you didn't take it out of the house, why? Because in order to be a ganaf or a gazlan, you have to make a kinyan gazela, or at least for certain purposes. What is a kinyan gazela? That you do some act of ownership acquisition. You pick it up, you schlep it out, you do something which shows that you're taking this. But what if you can't, because it's virtual? So number 17, Masa gazela shayach rak badava sheyesh bo mamash. There has to be some substance to it. She'as shach bo kinyan gazela. So this is where really our whole discussion of internet, digital, online access begins. When I download something, where is the kinyan gazela? What am I taking? There's nothing there. It's not like picking up his, you know, jewelry and saying, I'll have this. In what way am I going to be called a ganav? How can you get me for ganeva? Yes, sir. Good, you can say what you like, but that doesn't mean necessarily it works. We'll see that it does help, etc. But let's say somebody, sometimes a statement is meaningless in the face of a halakhic reality. Somebody, the Gemara says, somebody whose ship is sinking in the sea. And all of their stuff is going to be destroyed or lost. And they're standing on the shore saying, I don't give up ownership. I'm going to get it back. No one else can take it. They can shry. They can scream. You can say what you like. It's it. It's gone. It's Aveda. Anyone can take that now. Because you can scream blue murder that you don't want something to happen. If you know that's what happens, then it happens what happens. So I'm not saying that's the answer. But you can't just turn around and say, since they said, then that means, if I leave my bike in the middle of the street and say, but I'm Macbeth, no one can take it. Okay, so it's not Hefka, but it may be what's called an Aveda Midas, and that makes a difference. So if I put my stuff on the internet, is that basically a free-for-all now? I know that once it's on the internet, it's fair game. It's anyone with half the ability to hack into anything is able to get it. Kids can hack into anything these days. I don't even know. My nephew is very good with computer things. A few weeks ago, he was on a bus, and there were some guys at the back of the bus, really rude, obnoxious guys, playing very, very loud music on a Bluetooth speaker, and everybody was tutting and saying, "Please turn the music down." They just turned it up. Da da da. So my nephew hacked into their Bluetooth and turned their speakers off. And they're looking, they're shaking the stuff, going, "Maza, let's all burn this well." And he just so if you know what you're doing, you can do a lot. Yes.
In other words, what you're saying is Kinyan Gazela can only be with something physical.
Mamash, makes yeshba mamash. It sounds that way. So many of the postgame are now going to be working from this point on to try and work out why there is a problem with copyright. I mean, just forget about the internet. If somebody makes something and I copy that, how am I guilty of anything? I copied your design, I copied your artwork, whatever, and I sell it. What did I steal exactly? So we'll see that the postgame are trying very hard to come up with an idea of copyright, but it's not straightforward. Yes.
So even if you download it to a CD,
I'm not giving any psak.
I'm just saying that
in principle. Yeah, but what did I take of his?
Ah, so even if you copy a book.
Right, that's not. You didn't take his book.
Right, okay.
You know, you borrowed a book from the library, you photocopied it with your paper, with your computer, with your this, with your that. We may conclude that there's a problem. Yes,
right,
we may.
I understand that.
But it's not going to be a Kenyan gazela because I never touched his book.
Wow.
Yes.
Stealing the answers on the item on the internet. the person who put it up there for you to listen to the music charges money.
Yes.
For every person who listens to that.
Correct.
Maybe a fraction of a penny.
Good.
But when thousands of people download.
We'll get to that.
There's 1,000 times a fraction becomes real money.
Just look for a second. Now you raise the point. Look at number 29. Right at the very end of the sheet, since you raised this point, there's a Gemara that very much reminds me of what you just said now. Look at this Gemara. Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya. Miyamai loy nitzcheni Adam. No one ever got the better of me, he says. Chutz mi isha. There were three cases. A woman, tinok, a little boy, mm-hmm. Vitinoket, and a little girl. These were the three people that caught me out. So what's the case of the Tinoket? You very much remember what you said. Tinoket Mahi, what's the story of the little girl? So he says Yeshua ben Chananya, Pam Achad Haiti Mahalech Baderech. I was once walking down a path. The Haita Derech Overit Besadeh, and the path was going through a private field. Haiti Mahalech Bas, so I walked through. Amra li tinoket achat. A little girl came up to me and said to me, Rebbe, lois sadi hizom. What are you thinking? This is a field. You just walk through other people's fields? How can you do that? You're a rabbi. So he answered, Amarati la, I said to her, lo, derek fushai. It's a path. I'm just walking down the path. Why are you giving me a hard time? So she answered him, Amra li, she said to me, listim kamatcha kofshua. It's only robbers like you that made it a path. It's not a path. People keep walking through our field, and now everybody thinks it's a path. Each one just breaks one little blade of grass, and now there's a whole path going through the field, and you're all robbers, and you're the worst of them. And she says, you know, she was right. She was right. Because just because everybody else does it, doesn't mean that it's okay, doesn't mean etc. So we will conclude that there are problems downloading things, but the question is, what is the problem? Now, sorry to have you flick around, but go back to where we got to. Please go to page number, where were we up to? Three?
Five.
And, four, we're already on four?
Four.
Yeah, four. Page number four, let's have a look together at some of the suggestions. We'll see this week, we'll also see, Mi'at Hashem, next week, how we get along. Okay, so there are ways to try and construct a Gazlan case. How are we going to do that? So one of the ways to do that is to say as follows. If somebody uploads or sells you something, they can reserve rights back to themselves. You can use it for X, but not for Y. And now if you use it for something you weren't permitted to use it for, then you become a gazlan. Have a look with me as you and we'll see how that works. It's called shi'ur, it's called retaining certain rights, and we'll see how that works. Number 18, Moshe Feinstein. Misha Oise Tape. Someone who makes a tape. Now, remember, Moshe Feinstein never heard of the internet. He died in the 1980s, but they were cassette tapes. Someone who makes a tape. Midivrei Torah. And it's a Torah tape. The Oseh Lahatiko, and they prohibit people from copying it. They say, you can buy my tape, but you may not copy it again. Bedava, that's the title. Bedava Echad She'asa Tape, this guy made a tape. Midivrei Torah, V'kosev She'oseh La'asod Mitape, Shelo, Od Tapes. He says, you can't use his tape to make more tapes. Says the Rav Moshe, Vadai Asur. It's clearly prohibited. Kihu Inyan Shavik Kesef. This is worth money. He wants to make tapes and sell them. You can't just make tapes if he says you can't. Va'asa ha'tape la'arviach. He's doing it for profit, mizeh. She'achem she'yitzu yistarchu l'shalem lo. And if you do it, you have to pay him. She'im kein leikum ishum midat sedom. And it's not midat sedom. What does he mean by midat sedom? The Gemara says, if you benefit but the other person doesn't lose, then it's not fair. They can't tell you to stop. A classic Midat Sedom was, you're standing on the train, someone's bought a newspaper, and they're reading the newspaper, and you're standing behind them, reading over their shoulder. And you can do this. In England, if you do that to someone, the person will go like this. That's how it works. Okay? And if you weren't English, you would say, why do you have a problem with me reading your newspaper? An English person would never say that, of course. Okay? They would go, oh, sorry. Why has he got a problem? What, you're wearing out the print? By reading it. So he's going to say, hey, buddy, you want a newspaper? You buy a newspaper like I bought a newspaper. That's in New York, that's what they'd say. You buy a newspaper, I had to buy a newspaper. Why should you piggyback on my newspaper? So that's Midat Sedom, no? Unless you're right in his face and in his personal space. Because it doesn't do him any harm if you read the newspaper. but it helps you. So why should somebody else not let you benefit if they're not losing out? That's called kofin al midat stom. Says Rav Moshe, that's not the case here. This guy doesn't want you to make copies because he's losing money. Every tape you make as a black market tape, he loses another sale. So don't tell me that he's not losing. He's clearly losing. Yeah.
This gets a little complicated because
just a little.
The question of the tape.
Yes.
Now the person who made the tape is actually reading a paragraph of Kehillah that he puts on tape.
Right.
From a sefer,
right,
that is printed by a company.
Good.
So does that also mean...
Good, so good, very good. The question is, did that company who sold you the book say or reply that you can read my book, but you can't read the words out and take them? You know, ultimately David HaMelech has copyright on all the stuff anyway, you know. But that's a good question. I don't think Art Scroll don't want you to copy their books, but I'm not sure that they mind you reading, although there will come a point. Let's say you make you take an Art Scroll biography and you make an audio book. You make an audio book of it, you read it into a tape, and then you sell it. That, I think they would be Makpid on, no? Right.
And you just take a paragraph from any...
Good, so we'll get that. We'll talk about this. There are also laws of the land that are into it. So let's look at Rav Moshe. He says, you can't just say it's Midas Dom. Or Mimele Kaven Shehu Cheftso. He still owns this. What does he own? You bought the tape. Ein Rishayim Likachoto. You can't then take it. Lishdamesh Bo Shelo Brishos. You can't use it for reasons that he didn't let you use it. Va'afka Sheloi Shamu Mimenu She'enu Noisin Rishos. And even if you never heard him say explicitly that he doesn't let you copy it, you can't copy it. Bistama calls man shelo hilsha beferish. He has to give you permission. You can't copy the tape. Lasso tape acher mi tape echad shelo brishus who is a gezel. You're a gazlan, says Rav Moshe. Now why are you a gazlan? Let's just think this through. What did you steal from the guy? You bought the tape. You paid good money for the tape. I own the tape. I just made a copy of the tape with my own machine, with my own cassette, if you remember how you used to do it back in the old days, you put one in one side, one on the other side, you press, you know. What did I do wrong here? So Rav Moshe, you're a gazlan. So what did I steal from him? I stole... In what way did I steal the tape? I stole the rights to make more tapes.
He has a tanai, so you have to say
that there are... The sale was on condition that you treated in a way X, Y, and Z, and you mistreated it, and therefore now you stole the original tape. So you could argue it like that. You could also say that I sold you the tape, but I didn't sell you the right to make new tapes, which is a slightly different analysis. Let's have a look at number 19. I think you like this source. Rav Zalman Nechemi Goldberg brings this source. Hamafkid etzel chaveru behema or kalim. This is a really interesting Mishnah. Let's say I leave an animal or a kalim with a shomer. Parshas Mishpatim, right? I leave it with a shomer to look after, with a bailey. Bailey? Yeah, bailey. V'nignavu, and it gets stolen. Or shenevdu, or it gets lost. Now, let's say that the shomer says, you know something, I could go to court and make a shavua and get off the hook, but you know something, I don't want to go through all of that hassle. I'll just pay. The animal got stolen. I know I don't have to pay, but I'll just pay. Shile, the guy pays. V'loi ratza lishabeya. He doesn't want to make a shvua. Now what happens? Nimtza haganaf. They catch the thief. And they ask the thief, did you do it? And he denied it. And you take him to court, and he gets found guilty, and he has to pay double. Who does he pay double to? Meshalem tashlumi kefel. The ganav has to pay double. Lemi meshalem, who gets the double? Lemi shapikadon etzlo. He goes to the shomer. What did the of course, because the shomer now had, but how? How did the shomer get the right to claim this extra payment for the animal?
Because
he paid. So what is that like buying a future? I bought something which has the potential to pay back double, but may well not. Because they might never find the thief. He might admit it and not have to pay kefil. Yeah? So what did I buy? I bought a future. Is this futures in the Mishnah? Could be. Look at the Gemara. Matkiv l'rami b'chama. V'ha'ein adam makneh dava sheloi bala olam. I can't sell you something that doesn't yet exist. It's called a future, right? The Gemara says I can't do that. How did I sell you the ability to get the double payment? How did that work? Va'afilu Rabbi Meir, even if you go like Rabbi Meir da'ama, who says Adam makne davar shelo bala olam, he says you can sell futures. Hani mini could go in peres dekel. That's like a harvest, like a crop. Meaning, I say to you, I sell you now the rights to the harvest of my palm crop that's going to be in date crop in August. Maybe that you can do. Da'avida da'asu, because it's coming. You mean, barring a, I don't know, a force majeure, acts of God, a hurricane, it's going to have dates. Aval hacha mi yomed de mikdava. Who knew this was ever going to get stolen? The imtim salom in the mikdava, and if it got stolen, mi yomed de mishdachas ganav. How do you know that the ganav would be found? The e mishdachas ganav, how do you know, mi yomed de mishalim, that he would have to, how do you know any of this? Dilma moide, maybe he'd admit it, and miftan he would be exempt from paying double. So look at what it says. I'm a Rava says, Nasika Aymelo, this is where you have to get a bit of a legal brain. We view this transaction as if when you gave the guy the original picadon, said, please look after my sheep, it's as if you said to him, Lekashitiganev, if it one day gets stolen, Vitivsevatashadotalbani, and you decide to pay me, Hari Parasi Kinuya Lachame Akshav, then I sell you my cow retroactively from now. Okay? Because the Gemara wants to say that's the only way that the guy could own the rights to the extra payment. It turns out you sold it. The Gemara doesn't like that. So Matkiv La Rabbi Zeira says, no. If you're telling me the guy really owns the cow retroactively from the beginning, if that's the case, afilu gizaseya v'ladoteya, he should learn everything in the cow. The shearings, the calves, and he doesn't. Alamatani, therefore, why is it written chutz migizoseya v'ladoteya? So this is the key. Amar Rabbi Zeira says, no. When we say it's as if you sold him the cow, it's nase ka'ome, it's as if he said, I sell you the cow, chutz, apart from the shearings, apart from the calves. So you're allowed to sell something to somebody and say, I sell it to you, but I don't sell you this aspect of it. I sell you my car, but you can't use it on a Tuesday. So you have the car, you own the car, but you do not own the right to use it on a Tuesday. Because that's not what he sold you. Says Rizal Zaman Nechemia Goldberg, therefore I can sell you a tape, I can sell you a book, and I can say you own the book, but I reserve the rights to copy the book. And you don't have that right. You have the right to read it, you have the right to use it in your family, but you don't have the right to copy it. And you're a gazlan. Now you could learn like Professor Steiner's learning that I sell it out tonight, and if you break the tonight, then you didn't ever buy it at all. Or you could learn it like this, which is that I sell it to you, but I reserve these rights. So look over the page for a second. Art scroll, I reproduced, I hope it's okay that I did this. I reproduced the lines from the art scroll books that say you can't reproduce the books. Okay, I don't think they're bothered about this bit, okay? Where they say very clearly, no part of this volume may be reproduced in any form, photocopy, electronic media, otherwise even for personal study group, classroom use. Meaning, I don't care if you think you have a heter based on Dina de Malchus Adina, which we'll get to next week, which is the law of the land is the law. I don't care. You can't use it without written permission from the copyright holder, except by, then he gives some exceptions. Notice is hereby given. The publication of this work involved extensive research, costs, and the rights of the copyright holder will be strictly enforced. Okay? Seems very clear. Art scroll do not give you the rights to copy this book. Yes?
You can sell an idea in today's world with a time frame, though.
Yes, you can.
Okay.
Yes, you can. I mean, you can say what you like if this is the case. Now, my problem with this is as follows, and Rav Zalman Nechemya points this out. When I buy an art scroll book from Chveis Pomerantz, I don't have a contract with art scroll. He might have a contract with art scroll because he's a wholesaler, he's a retailer. He might not either. He might have a contract with a wholesaler who has a contract with art scroll. So when art scroll say, I reserve the right, I can turn around and say, hey buddy, I have a deal with Mr. Pomerantz. I don't have a deal with you. And therefore, how can you bind me on this? Which is an interesting question itself. Which may mean that this doesn't actually work very well in all situations. Don't forget, when you go online, you know when you go online and you click and it says it brings you 25 pages of stuff and say, just click, I agree. And it's what they call Hobson's choice, because if you don't agree, you can't negotiate. If you want the app, then you press I agree. So have a look one day at what you're agreeing to. Because there you are in a very direct relationship with the people contractually that you agree with. And they sell you X, but only for certain purposes. Look at the YouTube terms of use. Okay? The following restrict... This is in the YouTube terms of use. If you don't believe me, you can go look them up. The following restrictions apply to your use of the service. You are not allowed to access, reproduce, download, distribute, transmit, broadcast, display, sell, license, alter, modify, or otherwise use any part of the service or content except as A, B, C, D, E. So there you could easily turn around and say, well, okay, I actually do have a contract with YouTube. I pressed I agree. And therefore, if I use that, if I abuse that, and they're saying, ah, I know how to download YouTube, I'll just download, I'll just get into one of these download YouTube sites, which you can go online and get, etc., which may be completely legal, but I just, you know, YouTube never allowed me access for that purpose. Yes?
What if my husband agreed to the terms of service and I go on his account, which he gives me permission to do?
Ishto Kagufai, good question. That's a good question. You never agree. She said, I never agree to anything. My husband clicked, I agree. And on principle, anything her husband agrees to, she doesn't necessarily agree to. Although she never said that. Okay? So, that's a good question. You could then argue, you know, unless they're saying that you are the shaliach of your husband, you're on his computer. It all gets very murky after a little while. Let me go on for a few other things. I brought you Rav Zalman Nechemi number 20. Let me give you some other ideas before we get into the main avoda here. Number 21 is Rav Shimon Shkop says, you know, sometimes you never made a kinyan, but the halacha makes it as if you made a kinyan, like a bore or a shus harabim. If you dig a hole in the public domain and somebody falls into the hole and damages himself, the halacha says it's as if you own the hole. You don't own the hole, it's in the middle of the public street. For these purposes, it's as if you own the hole. So maybe you could say that with, it's a virtual kinyan, etc. Maybe yes, maybe no. There's another attempt, look on page 6 please. There are those, the Chassam, Rav Chaim Sofer says that there are ideas that a non-Jew is not allowed to learn Torah. Why is a non-Jew not allowed to learn Torah? Because it says, Torah tziva lanu Moshe, Moirasha, Kilas Yaakov. It's ours. It belongs to us. It doesn't belong to them. So a non-Jew is not allowed to learn Torah. Chayiv Misa, not allowed to learn Torah. So the Gemara says, excuse me, where is that one of the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach? Where does it say that one of the Sheva Mitzvahs is they can't learn Torah? So the Gemara says, Gezel. Gezel. A non-Jew is not allowed to steal. That's one of the Sheva Mitzvahs. It's our Torah, not their Torah. They're gazlanim, and therefore they're chayav mita, as under the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach. So what do we have? Intellectual property rights over Torah. And they stole the rights. So maybe that's an option, but there are lots of people that don't like that either. But the real action happens in number 24. Let me tell you exactly how this works. Number 24 is the Shaul Umeshiv. The Shaul Umeshiv was Rav Yosef Nathanson of Lemberg. Very important Pesek in Europe at the end of the 1800s, middle of the 1800s. And he was asked a shaila by a publisher who'd compiled a new edition of the Shulchan Aruch, with a lot of work and a lot of effort, with new Meforashim, with the Piskei Tshuva in it. And somebody else basically bought the book, copied it in a large edition, in a larger volume edition, and then sold it for his own profit. And this author says, he can't do that. And the other guy said, no, you're selling the compact edition. I'm selling the larger edition. It's a different kind of people buy it. You'll sell yours, and I'll sell mine. And he wrote to the Shaul Umeshiv and says, is he right or is he wrong? And the Shaul Umeshiv answered, he's wrong. He can't do that. Why not? Why not? So look at what he says. This is very important. And this is the, if you like, the stricter approach on copyright issues, which we'll see how he gets to where he gets to. Number 24. I've extracted this from a long tshuva. But he says, Dezeh vadai. This is for sure, he says. Shisefa chadash. Shemad pis mechaber. That a new book which is printed by an author, v'zacha shidvarav mitkablim al pnei table, and he gets it distributed all around the world, and he's got this new book out. Pshita, it's obvious, he says, sheyesh lo zchut bezel olam. He said, I have no doubt that he has rights in this book forever. How? Where's he getting this from? V'hari v'lav hachi imad pisim or mechad shemezim alocha. If let's say somebody invents a new system or a machine or something like that. Other people can't just copy that. What do we call that? It's patents, right? You can take a patent out. And he gives an example. The Hari Noida, everybody knows. Shirabav Avram Yaakov Meharbashov. I don't exactly know who this was. Sha'asa ha cheshbon b'mashin. I think he made a new calculating device of some kind. Kol Yamav Kibel Schara Mehakira Bevarsha. He got rights to this. He has the right, he patents it in Warsaw in Poland, and he gets money for this. Other people can't copy it. And now he says, Faloy Yehei Torah Shalema Shalanu Kesicha Batela Shalayah. They should have a concept of patents and copyright. They're nonsense. And our Torah Lahavdil shouldn't have that. It can't be that if the non-Jewish world is sensitive to this issue and calls it theft, that we have no problem with it. It can't be. That's actually a very interesting idea in halachic methodology. Loi ikamidi, mia kamidi. Can there be something that for the non-Jews is not allowed that for us is fine? This comes up in the abortion discussion, because abortion is clearly murder for a non-Jew in halacha, clearly. What about for a Jew? It's learned out from the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach. Adam Sheba Adam, we had a whole discussion about abortion, but for a Jew it says ish. It says ish, and an embryo is not an ish. An embryo may be a potential ish, but it's not an ish. So where are you going to learn out that a Jew is guilty of murder for performing an abortion? So those Mephoroshim that want to say it has to be murder, which is not, by the way, the whole story by any means, say this idea. If for a non-Jew it's murder, it has to be murder, because Jews are non-Jews plus extra stringencies, not less stringencies. So says the Sholem Meshiv, if the non-Jews have copyright, then we must have that too. This is just obvious, he says. Everybody knows that when you print a book, you have rights, and the people who come after you have rights in your name. Now he says a very interesting thing. When people print in a book that they only restrict you for a limited time, it was quite common to have in a sefer a haskama from a senior rav, we'll get to this next week as well, saying for the next 15 years nobody's allowed to print this book or something like that. He says lav mishum she'ein lo koch lasol olamit. That's not because he can't go longer than 15 years. Ze'eino. As far as he's concerned, he could tell you that you can never reprint this book, built in Rishusa without his permission, or Boy Koch, or those of his heirs. Raksha Adarabba, the only reason he restricts it to 15 years is because he wants you to print the book after 15 years. The Adarabba, Shemachaba Ba'asma, writes Eshiad Pisu Svarav. He'd like you to disseminate his Torah. Achashi is Kelin Kol Svarav. After he's made his money, so he's very happy, but that's his choice, or her choice. Says the Sholem Meshiv, copyright exists in Jewish law. Why? Because it has to. It has to. Because there can't be something which the non-Jews say is Geneva, which the Jews say is not a problem. There's a problem with a Kenyan, how do you do this? Forget it. It's Geneva for them, it's Geneva for us. Yes?
In the Oz Hodor Shas.
1 second, what's that?
In the Oz Hodor Shas.
Yes?
You're familiar with that?
Mm-hmm.
There's a sefer called Posuv Shom of the Raivad, which is stolen from my wife's brother.
Okay.
And when my wife's brother called him up, he said, I didn't do anything to you. There's a Rinosev Shalodom, Tzuvim Lo, Mirosh Hashono, Ad Rosh
Hashono. Oh, wow.
So we have that, and the Goyim don't have that.
Interesting.
Aside from which, I lost money on you.
Oh, yeah. That's his problem. Bad investment. Yes, sir. Yes. No, no, but he reprinted it, he reset it, he put new things, he completely reset it. So Rav Yosef Karo doesn't have a copyright on the words, they're words of Divrei Torah. Have a look, you'll see this idea coming up right now. Have a look, just the Sholem Meshiv is a very interesting position. By the way, if you take this position, then the person who owns the book originally has the, it will be halachic theft to copy without permission. It would last for indefinite time. It doesn't matter whether you would have bought it or wouldn't have bought it. I mean, you can't turn around and say, listen, I need to copy a page of an article or book for my students. I've got 80 students. I would never have bought 80 article or books. And therefore, what's the problem? I'm not costing you any money. Says the Sholem Meshiv, that's irrelevant. He has the right. It doesn't matter whether you're costing him money or not costing him money. It's theft. So even though I would not have bought 80 article or books, I would have managed without. Nevertheless, he would say it would be prohibited. It makes no difference whether they're Jewish or not Jewish. It makes no difference whether, you know, someone else downloaded it and shared it. You're dealing in stolen property. Once you say it's theft, you're not allowed to fence stolen. If somebody steals something and sells it to you, are you allowed to buy it? You are not allowed to buy it. So then you can't turn around and say, yeah, but I'm not the one that downloaded it. If you go like the Sholem Eshev, it's stolen goods. And therefore, no matter how far it goes down the chain, you're dealing with stolen goods. You're encouraging people to steal. Let's just finish with one last comment in 27. Even in the 19th century, a lot of people turned around and said, we don't agree with this. Really? You've just created a whole concept of theft where Judaism didn't say one? Look in the Beis Yitzchak, Rav Yitzchak Shmelkes. Rav Yitzchak Shmelkes, who actually is very famous for other things as well, he gave the first tshuva on electricity in Shabbos, back in the end of the 1800s when people started putting electricity in. But look at number 27, sorry, he's talking about copyright. Look at what he says. Bedava hashelem misha eniach kisvei chidushei Torah im mutala achal ahatik mehem ulatfisam sheloi bilushus hayorshim af im hetik b'chai ha-mechabe o yesh lo mishum gezel. Is there gezel? Is there not gezel? And to cut a long story short, he basically says, I've seen what the Sholem Eshev says, I do not agree, it's gezel. Why not? And I'll leave you to read this later, but basically he says a few things. He says, first of all, I want to know, are you causing loss or not? Are you causing loss? If you're not causing loss, what's the problem? Isn't there an idea that Torah is meant to be disseminated for free? He brings this down, especially with Torah. Meaning, if you write a cookbook, okay. There's no Indian that the world should have access to cookbooks. I mean, maybe I'm wrong on that, but you can ask other people. But Torah, there's an idea that you're not meant to be making money out of teaching Torah. Don't worry, most people are fulfilling that mitzvah very well, and they're not making any money. Actually, I must tell you, I have the best excuse in the world. You're not allowed to charge for teaching Torah. There's many halachas on that. Rambam's very strict on that. What are you allowed to do? If you could have been doing something else with your time, but instead you're teaching Torah, you can ask for compensation for what you're not doing now that you're teaching Torah. So once I end up getting my previous charge out rate as a lawyer in London, once I'm getting paid more than that, then I'll ask a Shiloh about it, okay? But so far that's not happened, okay? But so he says you're meant to be giving Torah for free. You're meant to be giving Torah for free. So if you're not costing the guy a loss, because you would never have bought the book, and you're disseminating Torah, isn't that what you're meant to be doing? And he says, really? What are you meant to be looking at? Dina de Malchus Adina. If it's legal, under the Polish law, under the British law, under the American law, as far as I'm concerned, he said, if it's legal, and you're not causing him a loss, I don't see what the problem is. Especially with Divrei Torah, where there's an idea you're meant to be disseminating them and reaching the highest possible target audience. Then next week, what we'll do, please God, is we'll go straight into the VPN question. And we'll also look at the other ways you could create some kind of a copyright law. Very interesting cases. But today are the foundations. And hopefully you'll be able to remember this and bring it to next week in Yetz Hashem when we go further. Okay, have a great week, Kodesh Tov, and we'll speak to you soon. Wow. I'll come over.